go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 60 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Happy Labor Day to you all, or should I say to all of you that do labor. I do believe Labor Day, that's the one for the people that work in America. Such an American holiday to, hey, how are we going to celebrate work by not working? That's why I always get, I giggle a little bit about New Year's Day. It's such an American state of mind, such a procrastinator way of thinking. Like, hey, how are we going to start the new year off? We'll put it off till tomorrow. Let's take this first day to get hungover and watch bowl games that really don't matter anymore since we have a playoff system. Talking about sports, the B-Man, I did go to Yankee Stadium this past Saturday, or I guess it'll be two Saturdays ago since my filming schedule, but yeah, the Yankees lost to the Colorado Rockies by a score of 9-3. All my friends put in parlays, bets. I do not bet. That's one of the vices. I like to earn money. Something about just scratch off tickets, betting. It makes me more anxious than joy. So I don't partake in betting very often, if at all. They lost all their parlays. What I want to talk about, though, is we were not with the people at Yankee Stadium. We were, I believe it's the Audi suite. So if you look at Yankee Stadium from the batter's box, we were in left field, second row. I think it's the Audi suite. It's indoors. So we're kind of like above the second row. So we had a buffet. We had breakfast food. We had there was steak, there was chicken, there was sushi, there was shrimp, there was popcorn, there were a bunch of desserts and sweets. You did have to pay for alcohol, though. I felt uncomfortable in that setting. I did enjoy being with the boys. Saturdays are for the boys, but I did not enjoy the environment. There's something about, it was a little overlordy there. There wasn't like business deals going down, but nobody was really paying attention to the game except for this one group of odd-looking ducks who were very intently watching, but they looked just a bunch of potatoes. You could tell they hadn't really interacted with non-baseball fans all summer, but everyone else was kind of bullshitting, was more concentrated on the food than the at-bats, than the game at hand. And just looking down at the people in the sweltering heat while I was in my nice air-conditioned room, a luxury suite, sipping on an overpriced Heineken can, eating some sushi, dipping it in wasabi and soy sauce. That's why I eat sushi, is for the soy and wasabi. Most of the foods I eat are for the condiments I eat with them or dip them into. There's something about that. And looking that it wasn't a pleasurable experience looking down and not being with the crowd. I felt the separation. Like, it's weird. I was in the private suite clapping whenever a Yankee got a hit or made a play. And why was I clapping? Like, there was a glass between us and outside. So clearly nobody could hear us clapping other than us elite in the suite. It was discombobulating. It's my fourth game of the year. I'm a man of the people. That's my big takeaway. I am a man of the people. Put me with the peasants. Put me with the don't put me with the peasants, but don't put me with the elite either. I like being in the middle. The middle class is where I want to be. I don't want to be in the bleachers. I don't want to be a bleacher creature, but I don't want to be in the suites that are separated from anyone either. Just put me section 322, row 6, seats 8, I don't know, somewhere in the middle where I'm outside, I could feel the air, I could hear, feel the sun beating down on me. When I clap, the players, the people around me can hear it. I like to get a little rowdy. I like to talk a little shit to the opposing team. Can't do that in a suite from the outfield. So thank you for all my friends that went. I did enjoy all your company. But the suite, next time, let's be with the people. Let me say that for 10 times in a row. I got to stop being so redundant. Another thing that made me, I realized I'm growing up and becoming a more mature individual by not caring by my social media account. Did any of you have this when you were younger? Where were you ever self-conscious of the number of people you followed versus the number of people who follow you on a social media platform? I always strategically would follow fewer people than followed me, just because I always thought that made me a beta male, like following more people than follow me. That's a very, that almost seems like I'm not in demand, like I'm a needy individual. A loser of the internet if you follow more people than follow you. But somehow, I don't know, the last year or so, maybe it's just Verbal Graffiti Project, how I get so little views on it. I've stopped caring about the counting, the counting system. So if I like what you're putting out, I give you a like. And if I don't like what you're pointing out, I don't put you a like. That's the only barrier. That is the only barrier. And also, if you have, I've said this before, but if you post photos of your kids very often, I will, if I am following you, I'm giving you a mute. That's why I'm not giving you any hearts or likes. It's because I'm not seeing what you post, because I don't want to see your kids, because I honestly do not care about their Little League baseball or whatever school project or whatever weekend getaway you went to. To be man, I don't give a fuck. My internet is for giggles and for smut. I don't care about your family life. New person I've been following on the internet. This is guys on YouTube. I'll put his handle here. I think it's a What If Alt History guy, a current event guy. 22, 23-year-old, very well-read, reminds me of, I was a political science major in college, and there were always, I knew not to pursue anything with politics or social sciences after my first year of college, because there were always like five kids in all of my classes that were way smarter, way more bright, were able to retain the information and process it much more diligently than I was ever able to do. So I knew that was a lost cause. But this guy's sharp. He's very well read. It's impressive how many books he's read and how many historical facts and novels and historical accounts that he can pull up to say. His big thing is we're going to have a civil war around the election time, so the end of 2024. And if not, then without a doubt, based on historical events and the marriage, his big thing is once the average age of marriage is post 28 years old, whenever that's happened in history, there has been civil conflict. And I guess in America, the average age of marriage is approaching 30 now, so that there's definitely going to be a civil war. I'm not really in the mood for a civil war at this point. Verbal Graffiti really has not taken off yet. So I'm not giddy about a civil war in this country. If we can we please just put it off until I have a little bit more success? I want to go to a few more Yankee games before I start engaging in rifle fights with my fellow man and having a bloody conflicts on the streets. I don't want a U.S. version of a bloody sun. So what's that U2 song about Ireland? A bloody Sunday. You know the song I'm talking about. Very catchy. Love the song, but I don't want that here in the U.S. Can we just go about our, just continue to be polite? My body's too fragile for a civil war. I really hope the civil war does not happen. But this guy, he puts out a very convincing argument that it is going to happen and it is going to be violent. I hope that's not the case. But hey, he's clearly a more intelligent, more red guy than I am. So maybe he's on to something. So if we are going to have some strife, we'll take viewers from either side, a left, right, north, south, whatever, you know, whatever faction of the Civil War you're on. If you're watching Verbal Graffiti and giving me a thumbs up, I'll support you in whatever your fight is. All right, let's get into something I found on Reddit. This one comes from subreddit Love. L-O-V-E, Love. I made my girlfriend cry unintentionally and realized how much she loves me. Aw, story. I, 24, male, have been dating my girlfriend, 24, female, for around 4 months now. Yesterday at work, I got an offer for a contract which would require me to move across the country for 2 years. I knew in myself that it was a good opportunity, but ultimately I turned it down. I called my girlfriend last night and told her that I got the offer and that I was considering taking it, partially as a joke. As soon as those words left my mouth, I noticed that she got really quiet and asked her what was wrong. I noticed tears in her eyes and she started crying. I immediately felt terrible and apologized. In that moment, I truly realized how much I meant to her and how much it would hurt if I was not to be around in her life. I told her that she had no need to worry and that I wasn't going anywhere anytime soon. She said to me that she could not imagine a life without me, and my heart melted. We spent the rest of the night talking and planning our first romantic getaway in the countryside, and she told me how excited she was to sit by a campfire and watch the stars with me. Honestly, I had no idea that she loved me that much. It hurts me so much as well imagining a life without her. I love her so damn much. Excuse me while I itch my nose. I need to itch my nose while reading all that. It took everything in me not to scratch my nose. I could never be a sniper. How those guys to stay still without moving for hours at a time, waiting for their target to put their head in the window as they walk across from one room to the other for, you know, half a mile away and not fidge at all or itch their face. Could not do it. I am too fidgety of a guy. On to the... Brian, get your head in the game. Get your head in the game. We got real love to talk about. I was curious with this one. So I did read through the replies on Reddit to this post, which I'll admit I normally do not do because I do not want other Redditors infiltrating my mind with information, and I don't want to steal any of their ideas. I want it all to be original. I can't think of a better word than original, an SAT word. Authentic, maybe? Anyway, to the point. Read through all the replies. I will say about 80% of the replies said, drop this tomato and go across the country. You do you. Go get that money. Go get the bag. Go start your career. Jumpstart it. Become the VP of whatever company you're going to be in. To a man, everyone was saying, just drop this lady. It's only been 4 months. She's probably going to break up anyway. I found all of this. I can't disagree more with all of these responses. It's disheartening to read each response saying, drop this love, drop your girlfriend, go across the country for this corporation. I'm just doing a simple analysis of feelings. And when you're 24, if you're not listening to your heart, when are you ever going to listen to what your soul has to say? On one side, we let's say you live on the East Coast. You have this girl, this baby. I mean, it's very new. It's puppy love. You're in that honeymoon period. It's the best. You have all the warm, gooey, the late night telephone. You're dreaming about your first vacation in the countryside. I love all that. It's Disney. Give me more of that. Give me some of that. But on the other side of the country, you have this corporate entity. Yeah, they're going to pay you some more money. You're probably going to make $100,000. But is that really going to make you happier? Let's say, let's play this out hypothetically. You go across the country. You go to Silicon Valley. Let's say you're being employed by a major tech company, Alphabet. Let's say Alphabet, Google. You're working for them. You're making $100,000 more than you are right now. And if things go well, you move up Alphabet to the point where 20 years from now, you're the vice president of operations. You're the right-hand man of whoever the CEO of Alphabet is at that time. It's great. You're making seven, maybe eight figures. You own part of the company. You're a multi-millionaire. You get the vacation in the Alps once a year. You get to go to ball games. You get to go to see the LA Rams or the LA Chargers, and you get in one of the suites like I was at this weekend. But what does that make you happy? It fills your bank account. Yeah, it gives you stability. But does it fill your soul? Does it make you happy? With that comes a lot of responsibility. You get that money, but you're also going to get emails and text messages off hours, like 2 a.m. and on the weekends from a middle manager. Oh, middle managers, they love that little bit of power that they have. They love to just pound it down on the people their superiors over. So you know you're going to be just riddled with emails off hours. You're always going to be on call. You're never going to get to relax. And when you do relax, what are you going to do? You're probably going to go out. You're going to do a lot of blow. That's mostly baking soda. So you're going to rip those lines. It's going to burn your nose. Because like I said, it's not 100% pure cocaine. And what you're going to do once you're high, you're going to start riding down the 405. You're going to pick up a Mexican hooker in your Tesla. You're going to go to some parking lot. She's going to be giving you sloppy top in the back of your Tesla, but you're not going to be able to keep your erection because you're going to start crying because that Mexican hooker is going to start blowing you, and she's going to have the same technique as your girlfriend does now, and it's going to make you think of your love that you passed up for this stupid Google job, and you're not going to be able to stay hard, so you're going to have to apologize to this hooker that you're the one paying her money, and you're going to be frantically trying to get yourself in a formidable position so that she can finish her blowjob on you, and you're gonna not be able to finish, so you're gonna be discouraged. Your masculinity is just gonna be torn apart because you weren't able to bust inside this hooker that you paid $150 for. You're gonna wake up with a raging cocaine headache because, like I said, it was mostly baking soda and other white substances that you were snorting up your nostril. And instead of Saturday morning, instead of going to the diner that you always go to with your girlfriend from the East Coast and getting a three stack of fluffy pancakes and three sausage and fluffy kind of plasticky scrambled eggs, but it's your diner, so you like it, and you get the freshly squeezed orange juice, and you drink the bland coffee, but the blandness of the black coffee doesn't bother you, because sitting across from you is the love of your life that you've been dating 4 months, and everything about it is magical, and she makes you smile, and somehow you're able to consume the coffee, and it makes the coffee taste just a little bit more organic, like it actually wasn't just instant coffee from Folgers, and you're having fun conversation, but you're not doing that. What you're doing is you're waking up with this raging cocaine headache in sleeping in a bed that it doesn't have sheets on it, and you have to get up and clean all the empty Busch Light bottles that are on the coffee table that you got off of Facebook Marketplace, and then you had to go about your day. And then you mid-afternoon, you open up the dating app and you scroll through and you just cringe at all the fatties that you swiped right on after you dropped off that Mexican hooker. And it kind of hits you. And like, damn, I had one shot at love and I gave it up for corporate America, for a measly $75,000 increase a year opportunity. I gave it all up for this, and you'll never get it back. That's what I envisioned happening to you. And that's why I say follow your heart. Don't let this happen to you. Stay with your girlfriend. I applaud you, like I did at that Yankee game last weekend. Even though the Yankees lost 9-3, I still applauded after a few hits. I'm applauding you for turning down the opportunity and choosing love over a corporate overlord that's not going to give you anything other than a paycheck and probably a pink slip within 5 to 7 years. I applaud you for that. I am so happy that don't listen to all these Redditors who are saying go across the country, because the thing they're not telling you is that they're jaded, that they're older than you, they've been scorned by love, and they know that they've lived they've lived life, and they know love, you know, isn't permanent, so they don't want you to lose out on this opportunity. I understand that, but fuck them. You don't want to take advice from the jaded. Don't do that, because they're not looking out for your happiness. They want you down in the gutter with the wrinkly face, the thinking, what if. They're trying to pull you down into the deep end. They want you to drown in this life. I'm happy that you're not listening to them. So don't be discouraged by their comments. Listen to the B-Man. Listen to us at Verbal Graffiti. We're happy. We're happy that you chose love. And we really do hope this short-term relationship that's been 4 months prospers into a lifelong, loving family, maybe with some offspring. Maybe, you know, you put some hot ones in there that turn into babies and you have a family, and your kids, they don't go away across country, they stay local, and you could look out over their grandkids while they're out working, and you could be a nice close-knit family. I'm pausing because I want to collect my thoughts. There is something about your post that's discouraging to me, that has me a bit leery about your relationship with your girlfriend of 4 months going forward. It's that phone call you made to your girlfriend. I noticed her response was not the response I would have liked if I was in your position. She wasn't happy for you that you got offered this big position, which that should be concerning, because if this is real love, you should be really like geeked out in happiness when your partner, when your lover, you know, gets a super opportunity like that. Another thing, she immediately went from, you told her about the offer, like, hey, I got this offer across the country, I might take it, and then she instantly went to the tears. What she did not say is, nowhere in her initial reaction was, oh, that's great, can I move out west with you? Can we get an apartment together? There was nothing about her response that said, I want to be your ride or die. It seems to me, from what her reaction was, she was going to stay local, East Coast, no matter what you did. It seems to me that if you decide to take this opportunity across the country, she was not going to follow you. She was going to stay home where she's at now, and this relationship would be donezo. From your position, that should be a little... No, more than a little. That should be a big cloud over your relationship. That is something you should put the real estate in your mind. Put it there. Put up a little sign. That should be worrisome to you. To this, her response to me tells me she's not a ride or die bitch. She's more of a, hey, I'll ride with you till we get to an exit that I'm not familiar with. And at that point, I'm going to ask you to pull over and let me get off the motorcycle and you can continue on. I'm going to go back home. Thank you very much. That's the type of twat I think this potato possibly is. I sincerely hope this is not the case with you and her. And I sincerely do hope you two do this continues to blossom and into a lifelong, you're one in your million, your true love, your soulmate, all that gooey Disney, all that Disney-ness. I hope it just showers. It rains on the two of you when you're in the countryside, looking at the stars, cuddling, just rubbing each other's arms and inner thighs. I want that for you. But her response, or shall I say her lack of a response, it has me tilting my head. You know, that's the type of response where afterwards, I immediately would think, this is great, we're going to get married. But after a few minutes thinking about it in my head, I would pop up from the bed, have to get up, I'll walk around the block by myself a few times and really ponder what was not said on her part. Because anybody could cry. You know, put an onion in front of us, we'll all cry. Tears are nothing. Words, actions are everything. And I just got that feeling that she ain't the ride or die. She's, you know, I can't get rid of that feeling. What worries me more than anything is that at some point in the future, you're going to be blindsided because you didn't pick up on that response. And you should have picked up on that response. So I do hope that you're watching, you're one of the seven viewers of Verbal Graffiti, and you're watching this, and you can ask her, like, hey, if I did take that job on the other coast, would you have come with me if I had taken it? Would you have gotten a place with me? Would we have gotten real? Would you have been a ride or die? Would you have been a ride or die with me if I had taken that position? Those are questions you got to ask, and you didn't ask them. You wimped out and said you wouldn't take it. But I am happy that you chose love. I am happy for you. I'm a little worried about your future with this lady, this potato, this twat, this non-ride or die. But hey, I'm rooting for you. We're all rooting for you here at Verbal Graffiti. Oh, by the way, before we get to the next segment, if you remember last episode, I told you I was dog sitting two dogs. One died. So I had two dogs for a week. One lived, one died. That might be the end of my dog sitting days. Some live, some die. What can you do? All right, let's go look at some photos. Oh, I'm so long-winded with my responses. The B-Man, I got to learn how to condense my thoughts, get to my points right away, boom, 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 keep it moving, keep the chuckles going, and just get to it. It's so odd, because if you knew me, I ain't who you're watching on camera or on audio. This is who I am. But there is a switch. Something when that red light comes on, when I press the record button and I start talking to myself in this studio to the camera, I don't shut up. I could ramble about almost any topic for 10 minutes minimum. But when I'm in person, if you talk to me in person, I'm a very quiet guy unless you're one of those rare babes that can open up my vocabulary and get me chatting. But most, like this weekend, for example, I went to the Yankee game, spent 10 hours with the boys, hardly spoke at all. A few conversations about where my life's at, about the project here at Verbal Graffiti, a couple talk about QB rankings, about fantasy sports, about the Yankees, the prospects in the playoffs. Yeah, I gave my two or three comments, shut up for the next hour, let everybody else talk. Very content, very enjoyable for me to be to talk that infrequently in conversation when I'm around people that I love, which is odd, which you wouldn't think that listening to this if you don't know me. You know, thinking about that doomsdayer, that guy I've been listening to on the internet this week, who's telling us there is an impending civil war in this country that's going to go down somewhere around Election Day 2024. You know, being with my friends this weekend, they did not shut up about fantasy football. This is early September. It's prime time. Literally from September to February, I don't talk to any of my friends because I don't do fantasy football, and that's all they talk about. My neighbor this weekend, he had a party for all the his boys came over. They had a fantasy draft. I'm sure any of you listening to this, you know a bunch of people who are doing fantasy football. That's all they talk about. All they care about, running back, safety, what defense should I pick? What kicker? What QB? What's the steal in round eight? How many people are in your draft? Is it a snake draft? Is it an auction? It's like, oh, shut the fuck up. Let's just watch the games and enjoy them. Just bet on each individual game. It does make me think, though, maybe we do need a civil war to get the men of this country, the men in their prime, in their 20s, in their early 30s, who are muscular and into sports, to get them to focus on what's actually happening in this country and how it's going down the shitter real quick. Maybe we do need a little civil conflict. So, hey, if 200,000 American men die in a civil war to get us back on focus, so be it. If that's the cost to get people to stop talking about fantasy sports every other minute, maybe that's blood that needs to be shed. I talked too much that first segment, so let's get on to the next segment. Really hope that civil war doesn't happen. Really hope not. Disclaimer, this one is a photo of a babe. So if you're listening to this on podcast form, and remember, Verbal Graffiti, we are on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and we're on all the social media networks. So if you're listening to this on podcast form, come over to YouTube to see the outfit that I'm talking about right now. All right, with that disclaimer out of the way, found this on the subreddit Business Fashion. We know something about bandana fashion here at Verbal Graffiti. Okay, is this skirt too short for work? Never. For context, I always wear shorts underneath all my skirts, and I work at a very chill nonprofit. I got loads of compliments on this outfit, but my sister said the skirt was too short. My butt grew, and most of my skirts are shorter than I prefer, but not too short that I feel uncomfortable. Thoughts? Question mark? Come to Papa. That's what I say. My first thought is I don't think the skirt is too short for work. I've never worn skirts before, but let's play high school. When I was in high school and middle school, the rule with shorts and skirts for boys and girls, what was your hands? If you're standing up and you put your hands by your side, if the fabric was went beyond your hand, you had to go home and put on something longer. But if your skirt or shorts were below your middle finger, you were good to go. So I think you're on the borderline, but you're an adult. You're not in high school or, you know, a 15-year-old in middle school. So I think this is appropriate attire for your office, your very chill nonprofit corporation. I'm looking at this right now, and honestly, other than your legs, you're really not showing anything. I mean, your top, other than that, it looks like a little cutout heart, like on the shoulder. This is a summer outfit. You're literally wearing a turtleneck. From your hands to the top of your neck is covered with your top, and you have a skirt that you're wearing shorts underneath. This is perfectly fine for your office. If the B-man was your HR manager, the only complaint I have as a man is that you should not be wearing shorts underneath your skirt ever. If you're going to wear a skirt out in public to the office, go all the way. Wear a thong underneath your skirt. There's nothing worse than wearing a tight pair of pants or a tight skirt, and the fellas behind you were able to see the panty line from your bikini undies or whatever type of undies you're wearing, booty shorts. No bueno, we don't like that. It doesn't look good. That's why you need to wear a thong. Go all the way. Don't pussyfoot around. Show the pussy. Do not slur my words. Wear a thong underneath that skirt. As you said, your butt is getting bigger. I'm a little bit curious why that is. Are you doing squats? Do you pick up CrossFit? Why is your butt getting a little larger at the moment? Personally, from the photo, I can't see your backside, but I can't imagine it does look very appealing, and I can see why you're getting many, many compliments from your not-so-subtly horny colleagues. When you do wear a thong underneath your skirt, I will advise you as a passive upskirter. That's how I'll describe myself. When I was in high school, there were two floors to our high school, and there was one stairwell, and then a turn, and you got to go up in the opposite direction. So like two stairwells opposite way to get to the second floor. And if you hit the angle right, like you could look up babe's skirts. Not saying I did that. Occasionally I might have, but I wasn't seeking it out. It was just, oh, that's there. Nice. So that's, if you're in an office where you have to go up and down stairs, be cognizant of that and don't be right by the railing. Get to the farther end so a passive upskirter doesn't, you know, get a peek. If you do not want that to happen to you, do not know why I just disclosed all that information. But hey, what's the statute of limitations? 20 years? Let's move on. As always. Yes. This is an appropriate outfit for your office. It always comes down to other women, to other babes. Your sister is jealous of you. That's why she's telling you not to wear this skirt. I know without meeting your sister that her complaints about your outfit, that she is the ugly sister. Of the two of you, she's the ugly one. She's trying to pull you down with her into the deep end. Use that reference again. With the ugly people, she does not want you to get attention. She does not want you to get a man or a woman if you're a lesbian. She does not want you to get into a relationship or to date one of your coworkers, because if you do, you're not going to have free time to spend with your ugly sister. And I suspect since you work for a chill nonprofit corporation, that's AKA, that's code for, you make, your salary is dog shit. That's what working nonprofit means. So you're a young person, work for a nonprofit, you're not making any money. So you're probably living with your ugly sister. And that's why, because, you know, your corporation, they're not paying you a wage to live on your own. So you're being forced to live with the ugly sister that you're trying to get rid of, that she's trying her best to manipulate your mind, to stay with her, to not show those fine, fine legs and growing booty that you have out to the world. It's always the ugly. It's always the ugly babe coworker that causes strife. It goes to the HR manager and causes a hissy fit and makes everyone dress so bland in the office and show no skin and show no personality. Oh, I hate the ugly coworkers. I hate HR. I'm looking at your photo, and I want, you have potential. Your greatest assets are your legs, are your growing butt cheeks. What I want you to do is to go to the corner office where the executive is working. He's not working. He's pretending to work. Go in there, close the door, accidentally knock some papers off his desk, bend over to pick them up. One thing leads to another. His dick is inside your skirt, and now you're the executive assistant, and you're making three times the salary as a project manager. That's what I want you to do. You're doing that. Everyone's going to be jealous. You're going to have to move on. You have those legs. And more than anything else, those heels that you're wearing, tell me, tell the B-man that you're a boss bitch. And where you should not be is working for a non-profit corporation. What I need you to do is come down the hallway and go to where you need to be. Come over to the dark side. Come over to the dark side and work for a for-profit corporation. Because like I said, you have boss bitch energy, and this is where you need to be. You need to be working for a real corporation, a for-profit where we care about the money. Because those legs, those butt, that outfit, those heels, the way you took that selfie in the mirror with the you covered it with the heart, with your hair up, that ain't the only selfie you've taken. I know you have nudie selfies on your phone that you shoot out to all the chads on the weekend that you want to get with. You're a baddie. You should not be working in nonprofit America. Come over to the dark side. Come over to the for-profit. That's where you're going to prosper. That's where you're going to get the salary that you deserve so you can get away from that ugly sister that's trying to hold you back. Honestly, if I'm you, my advice to you is to excommunicate that ugly. And I'm not even going to call her your sister anymore. I don't care. Blood, fuck that. She's ugly. You're hot. You got to get away from her. You got to get away from nonprofit. You got to come to corporate. You gotta just let that bad bitch energy, that boss bitch energy, sorry, boss bitch energy that you have, and you gotta let it emanate from your pores, because that's who you are. And just that one photo tells me you have great sense of style, you have great legs, you have a great butt, you have you know how to take a selfie. You're going places in life, and don't let anybody hold you back. So, hey, to you. And especially to your ugly and to everybody else, go suck a fat one.